senior coaches. Dimitri Nostalieva lost his lust. Only part of Vinny's speech sunk. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins. Grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Well, as a general rule, I don't tend to preach on Easter Monday, any Easter Monday, but I've just been presented with a very lovely cup of tea and a biscuit, and I feel just like the prophet Elias, or if you like, Elijah, who on being given a cake and some water, managed to walk through the desert for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached God's own mountain, Horeb. So here goes with this meditation for Easter Monday. Well, we've just celebrated Easter and we're filled with joy on seeing the risen Lord. Well, no doubt we've repeated the verse from Psalm 117. Hic est dies, vete Dominus, exultemus eleemur in ea. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And this is a verse we can say not just on Easter Sunday, for that matter Easter Monday, but all the days through Easter. Now obviously, when Jesus has gone through the whole of his life, finishing with dreadful sufferings, and then dying ignominiously, crucified, that is to say, nailed to the cross, and dying for us in agony, for us and for our salvation, we feel that we have a right to ask him, now was it all worthwhile, Jesus, when you took into account, or when you take into account, the thousands of people who have ignored all that you have done for them, setting aside all your sufferings and pains, and giving their attention to a farm they've just bought, or they want to try out a pair of oxen, or because they're not married, or perhaps nowadays they wanted to drive a new car. Well, and do you know what the answer is? Do you know what Jesus will say to that? He will say, but don't you realize, my son, my daughter, I have no regrets. God is totally incapable of regrets or remorse. That's a human thing. You're thinking just the way everybody in the world thinks, always being upset at the way things have turned out. Well, when things are done according to the mind of God. That everything is beautiful. Everything is gorgeous. I just give you one example to think about. Think of the love and the beauty of my mother. She would never have happened if I had not created her and then become incarnate in her most pure and holy womb. Well, on top of that, my son, my daughter, I don't regret creating or sanctifying you either. Although now you're nowhere near as beautiful or as good as she is. And even if you had been the only soul in the entire world to correspond with my love, I would have created the world and died on the cross. Well now then, encouraged by these sentiments, we may feel a bit encouraged to go on to say, but Jesus, my love and adoration of you and of the Father and of the Holy Spirit, so poor and miserable. How can I show my love for my Father God? How can I correspond with the promptings of the Holy Spirit? How can I love you and thank you properly for all you have done for me? And then I'm sure Jesus will reply, well then, borrow the love which I have in my heart for my Father. Borrow something of my tenderness and affection towards the Holy Spirit. And as far as loving myself is concerned, take hold of all my sufferings that I have endured for you on the cross, and offer them back to me in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and I will accept them all, and then I will hold you close to my breast. I think it's a good idea for us to pause a while and just reflect a little bit about this. But I think some sort of explanation is due. Well, some meditations ago, I don't know whether it was just this year or the year before, whenever it was, I spent some time looking for a definition or an explanation of the meaning of goodness. And I had drawn it out from the fact that when I studied philosophy, I thought the teachers of philosophy had tricked us, because the system was working by having a subject called psychology and explaining appetite by saying the rational appetite is the desire to seek goodness. Is that capacity we've got in ourselves that makes us want goodness. And then we have another module of metaphysics in which we came across an attempt to find the definition of the good or of goodness. And the teacher said, id quod omnes appetunt, that which the appetite desires. And I said to myself, well, that's a trick. That's whatever you call it, a tautology. You can't say on the one hand, goodness is what everybody desires, then telling us what is the desire is that which desires goodness. You've not defined goodness. So then I turned up that quotation in St. Thomas Aquinas, who has an answer for pretty well everything. And he gave us a definition attributed to the pseudo-Dionysius, of course, never existed, but who is reported to have said, bonum divu sivum sui est. Goodness is diffusive of itself. And what that means is that goodness just longs to give itself, can't stop giving itself to others. In other words, God, who is pure goodness, simply revels in self-giving. Now we human beings, unfortunately, we find this hard to swallow. And why is that? Well, because we're so mean and grasping. We're self-centered. We like to keep things. We don't like giving things away. Now I can remember when I was a very little boy, I refused to give some trinket or other to another little boy who was the son of my godparents. And I kept hold of it. I wouldn't give it. And all my life long, I've always regretted this reluctance to give. But my experience of a long life, knowing quite a lot of people, has taught me that I'm not the only one who finds giving to others hard. Now let's go back to the Easter episode, and we remember how our Lord had told his disciples, go before me into Galilee, and you'll see me again. So he appeared to them on the seashore while they were out in the boats. And St. John said, "It is the Lord." Son of Peter dived into the sea. And then we find him walking up and down the seashore, talking to Jesus. And Jesus said to Simon Peter three times to help him to get over the three times he had denied him. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others?" Then I was in St. John's Gospel, chapter 21. And then Simon Peter replied, a bit lamely, "Domine, tu omnia nosti, tu scis quae amo te." "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Now, our Lord was not asking Simon Peter, "Do you love me more than these others love me?" He was asking him, "Do you love me more than anyone or anything else? Like, kind of, do you love me exclusively?" And that's why Simon Peter, who was a bit disconcerted, because he knew that he had denied him those three times, but in his humility, he could just reply, "You know all things, Lord. You know that I love you." Now, we learned from St. Jose Maria how it's a very good idea to repeat this act of love frequently each day. And why is that? Well, it's to drum it into our hearts and souls. Then this is what we've got to do. We've got to love God more than anything or anyone else. But let's go back just for a minute. Consider once more the nature of God's love. Speaking, if we may, to the risen Jesus, as if he were standing here before us. And bearing in mind that we have to have it very clear and firm in our minds, that unlike the belief of the Muslims, God simply cannot change his mind. And that's not a defect, but a virtue. So God created this beautiful world with you and me in it, and with absolutely no regret. Then he took upon himself our poor, miserable human nature, accepting all our weaknesses, except for sin. Then living his life amongst us. And finally, accepted with extraordinary meekness and humility the sufferings and death on the cross to take away our sins. But far from being sorry for himself, God, so to speak, revelled in his generosity. He enjoys giving because it is the supreme manifestation of his love. And Deus Caritas est, God is love. So he loves loving. He enjoys giving. So take another example. Perhaps at this moment in time, we are in the presence of our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament. There is Jesus in the tabernacle. And we remember the words of our beloved Father, Saint Jose Maria, saying, look, Jesus, he's been waiting for you in the tabernacle for 20 centuries. What do you say? Do you regret Jesus waiting all that time? No, Jesus loves showing us his love by his patience, by his self-giving. Of course, he'd be a lot more pleased if we would come and visit him more often, show him more love, say to him, Jesus, I love you. I want to give myself to you for all that you have given me. But our Lord, even without my manifestations of love, he's still not sorry for being there, because he's manifesting his love for us. Earlier on, I said, let's just give a thought to Our Lady. And it's so wonderful to think of how Jesus loves his mother Mary. Jesus loves her with an infinite love. And he sees reflected not just in her beauty, all her virtues, her generosity, but he sees the burning love in her heart as well. We can almost say he's compensated for all he has put up with in loving us, in saving us. She more than anyone else compensates for all his generosity and self-giving towards us. He will do us enormous good, my sisters and brothers, to meditate on Our Lady, even in this Easter time. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, the first thing he did was to seek out his mother. She needn't go anywhere to find him. She knew that he would rise from the dead, and filled with that burning love towards her, would seek her out. And how then they would love each other in a sweet embrace. But we also can think that we could be like those first disciples on our way to the tomb. But like the holy women with spices, they represent all the different manifestations of love that we can offer to Jesus for his love towards us. When he appeared to the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you," he was looking forward to seeing the happiness and joy in their hearts. And he was filled with great happiness and joy from seeing our peace. But we realize how our peace and joy will multiply not 100-fold, but 1,000-fold, 1,000,000 times over, if we are generous. Oh Jesus, teach me to be generous. Teach me to serve as thou deservest, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to imitate the holy disciples and your blessed mother in their love towards you. I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations you've communicated to me in this meditation. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my Guardian Angel, intercede for me.